Welcome to Tep and Step, a podcast for the whole family. Tep and Step, your premium Texas high school football podcast from your friends at Dave Campbell's Texas Football and Texas Football. com. I am the Tep, Greg Tepper.
And I'm the Step, Matt Step.
Thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber and listening to this in the podcast form, exclusive on podcast form to Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. Or maybe you're watching this for free on Friday. Tell me, how's the future? Is it different?
How could anyone even know?
How could anybody even know that? Yeah. Sitting the third member of our team, many would say the MVP of Tep and Step, is neither Tep nor Step.
Oh, gosh.
No.
It's our producer, V&A Moreno. Hi, V&A Moreno.
Hello.
You doing good?
Doing great. How are y'all?
Cowboys won this weekend.
You
know, they won, yeah. But I'm not exactly too happy with it.
No, right. Nor should you be.
It's all right. Hey, I've got a great stat.
And here with a great stat is Matt Stepp.
The Dallas Cowboys are 2-0 when WTF is not in attendance at the game.
That's a great point. Wow.
And when WTF is in attendance, they're 0-2.
That's like you'd get that like on Pro Football Focus. This is no wonder this is a premium podcast. This is your week 6 preview edition of Tep and Step. We do thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. Coming up here in just a moment, we are going to recap a statement making week 5. And we will get to our week 6 game draft, which will be a little bit of a challenge. Not at the top of the draft. Will not be a challenge at the top of the draft. Rounds 4 and 5 might be a little fun. We'll see. For reasons that we'll discuss.
Yeah.
But first, Matthew, we will start, as we always do, with your Texas high school football fun fact of the week presented by Community Coffee. Hold on, I won't cover the logo. Community Coffee. And the read that they sent me. Community Coffee supports and celebrates thriving communities at the heart of Texas high school football. Community Coffee, strong as our roots. Discover more at communitycoffee.com. Community Coffee.
You know, we serve community coffee in the break room at my day job.
Do you really?
We do. I noticed it. I was like, oh, community coffee.
I know you don't drink coffee, but it smells good, right?
It does smell lovely. Yes.
It does smell good.
And they've got some, whoever orders for the break room got all the fall, you know, pumpkin spice.
Yeah, they got all the,
Riley Dodge would be super fired up.
The stuff. When my wife was pregnant, you can only have, people tell you you have one cup of coffee, but like limit your caffeine intake and stuff like that. And she loves coffee. She would ask me to smell my coffee.
Really?
I'm like, that's sick. Like, I wouldn't, like, if you were eating barbecue, I wouldn't be like, hey, man, can I get a sniff of your ribs?
Check out this brisket, Tepper. So good.
Anyway, okay. your Texas high school football fun fact of the week, Matt Stepp, of the UIL 11-man teams, there's 1,101 of them, which is, now that I look that up, I'm always going to remember that number. There's 1,101 of them. Mm-hmm. Matt Stepp, which team throughout their entire schedule, all 10 games on their schedule, which team is facing the toughest schedule by record, by combined record? That is, the 10 teams they're playing, their record right now.
As of today. September 30th, 2024.
Year of our Lord, 2024.
4:02 p.m.
Yes. Central Standard Time. Daylight Time.
Wow, this is a...
There's like no way you're going to get it.
No.
Do I take a shot?
I'm going to shoot my shot. As the kids with the Riz say.
W Riz.
Yeah. let's go with... I don't know.
Jesus, hell. Going great.
North Crowley, I don't know.
What a great guess. Yeah, North Crowley is not in the top
500.
Not in the top 250.
Jeez.
No, the answer, Matt Stepp, stay a prayer for our friend Charlie Roten.
Rogers,
here's their schedule so far. They're 1-4, by the way. But I think you'll understand why they're 1-4 and why.
I know they played Columbus this week, right?
They played Groesbeck. 4-1.
Mm-hmm.
Schulenburg, 4-1. Troy, 5-0. Whitney, 4-1. Centerville, 4-1. By the way, that they have handed Schulenburg their only loss of the year. Portland,
okay,
right?
Okay.
Their schedule the rest of the way. Mm-hmm. Columbus, 5-0.
Okay.
Blanco, 3-2.
Oh, 3-2. Psh.
Comfort, 2-2.
Okay.
Comfort. Thrall, 4-1. Mm-hmm. Lexington, 5-0. For a combined record of 40-9.
That's crazy.
That is about as tough as it gets.
Yeah, that's insane. That's partly it's bad luck for Rodgers because everybody's schedule just turned out to be really good this year.
Mm-hmm.
So
I mean, yeah,
it says a lot about their district. Their district's tough.
Right. I mean, their average, like the thing is, like their average record is like 4-1. Like every team they're playing is like the average is 4-1. Anyway, there it is. Your Texas High School fun fact of the week: Charlie Roten and the Rodgers Eagles facing the toughest climb in Texas High School football. All right, Matt Stepp, let's do a little Week 5 recap here. And first of all, what was our random game of the week last week? Do you have that?
Yes, I do have that up. I just need to pull it up on my phone. I had it typed in. I know it was Rio Grande City Guerrilla and Far Valley View.
Yes, Far Valley View.
And congrats to the Far Valley View Tigers who knocked off Rio Grande City Guerrilla 16-12.
Wow, what a thriller.
Yeah.
Great game.
Yeah.
Great game. So that's the most important Week 5 update that we can do.
Yes, yes.
But I think maybe because last week was so star-studded, if you're okay, I would like to go through our draft from last week and just kind of recap those games, and because I think that there were some statements made in those games.
I would agree. Okay. Yeah, let's do it.
We'll start. You took, is this right? No, that's last time. Oh my gosh. Where was our draft from last week? Oh no, I don't have it.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Tap and Step, the most well-prepared podcast in the state.
San Antonio Piper and Smithson Valley.
Great game. Piper won 39-36. And I was talking to Carl, our good friend Carl Padilla, about this because he was at that game. He can't remember if Smithson Valley in recent history has lost to a Comal ISD school. It was just them and Canyon for a long time. But this signals kind of a changing of the guard in a lot of ways. I think this was Piper's. I think you said it was their coming out party, and it was apparently a great atmosphere at their 10,000 plus were at the game. It was awesome, an awesome atmosphere. And congrats to Nick Rogers and his ball club. That's a statement win. Now, this might be the first of two meetings. Mm-hmm. I think these might be the two best teams in Region 4 and 5A Division 1.
I think you might be correct.
So,
I am interested to see where this goes from here. We also took, let's see, because I got my list here of an incomplete list, Salina and Frisco Panther Creek. I texted you. This is the truth of the matter. I texted you on Friday night, and I told you, I don't know how we got to get this done, but Salina's got to be number one on Monday. Like, that is
statement. Do you want to hear the total yardage in that game?
Yeah.
Salina, at the end of the game, with 514 yards of offense.
Good performance.
Panther Creek had 58 yards. Their only touchdown was a pick six.
The number three team in the number two team in the state.
At the time.
A demolition from Salina.
Made us look a little bad in our rankings, but it was... Salina winning wouldn't have shocked me.
You mean 2 versus 3?
No, I mean...
Oh, Salina winning. Yeah, yeah. Took Salina.
Yeah, and I did too. It wouldn't have, even though they were ranked below Panther Creek, I just felt like they were at that point they were playing better. A Salina win wouldn't have shocked me. A Panther Creek win wouldn't have shocked me. But the way Salina completely dismantled Panther Creek. And I've heard Panther Creek's got some injuries at quarterback too. Maybe down to QB3.
Oh, no.
So keep an eye on that. They got a tough road trip this week going up to Paris. In 7-4A Division 1, if Panther Creek loses this game, like, we could be talking about seriously them in jeopardy of missing the playoffs, which is insane. But that's how tough 7-4A Division 1 is.
And how good Salina is. Richmond Randall and Alvin Iowa Colony. What I think is so impressive about this is that for the first half of this game, Randall's offense could not get into gear, and their defense was just like, nah, don't worry, we're good. Like, we're going to hold down the fort.
Against a really good Iowa Colony.
A really good Iowa Colony team. And they just, they held them in it until the offense got going. And then the offense hit a couple home runs and it was over. Like, that's the danger for a dangerous thing about facing.
Yeah, Landon Williams Callis had four touchdown runs, I think. And that
bad
was,
man.
That was all they wrote.
Martin Bremont, the beat goes on. I mean, Mart is, barring some team coming out of nowhere and just absolutely shocking us, like, March, I can tell you March's going to finish the year number one in 282. Like, that was their big hurdle.
Yeah.
Chilton's at their district two, but Chilton's down.
They're down this year, yeah.
But impressive. They really have, they really have built the whole plane out of Montreal Medlock.
Yeah, and if they can keep him healthy and, mm-hmm. and not that, what the good thing about now for Mart being in that district is, you know, they can probably, you know, Medlock will probably be rested in a lot of these mm-hmm. games. They don't have to push him too much physically because he is carrying so much of the offensive load. I think that'll be good, and it might allow Mart to use this time now to develop some other weapons and some secondary weapons to get ready for that 6-week grind that yeah. is the Texas High School football playoffs.
I think you're right. Columbus and Belleville. I'll say this: like there was a thought I think around some parts, maybe even in my brain, that like Belleville just doesn't have the juice. Like this is, you know, real white flag stuff. I thought they fought. I thought that they played really well throughout the course of this game.
They did.
But, and Columbus also, give them credit, because their offense was not getting in gear in the first half.
This was the first time we saw Columbus in a fight. Mm-hmm. Like that they had to dig deep and see what they were really made of against a really good. Mm-hmm. Don't let Belleville's record of 2-3 fool you. Their three losses are to Salina, Hitchcock, and Columbus. Yeah. Like, Belleville's going to be, they're going to be accounted for when playoff time comes in Region 3. Are they as good as last year? Probably not. Mm-mm. You know, their offensive line's not that as good as they were last year. Losing Corian Hood, their mm-hmm. kind of D.D. Murray sidekick in the backfield, it's hurt. But they're still a very, very good 4A team. And for Columbus to get into the kind of that dogfight with Belleville, trail at halftime, mm-hmm. and not have they still scored 49, which is weird that we're saying, oh, Columbus's offense got slowed down a little bit and they scored 49. But I think finding a way to win that kind of game, mm-hmm. I think will go a long way for Columbus as they try to make a run through Region 3.
Glen Rose and Alvarado. Now, Canyon Evans didn't play in this game.
No.
So that stinks.
Yes, but Cartier Collier.
I'm telling you, man, right now, he's a finalist for Mr. Texas Football. Like, if the season that we're, yeah, if we had to put together our finalist list.
I don't care. You know, he may be a little undersized, but in Texas high school football, in 4A Division I, there aren't many guys that impact a game like Cartier Collier. Number one, he's got a cool-ass name.
He does have a cool-ass name.
Like, Cartier, that's cool. He rushes for 300, throws for basically, he's a 300-300 guy. Not quite, but he had, I think, 260 passing and 318 rushing. 10 touchdowns.
Yeah.
He had a hand in all 10 Alvarado touchdowns.
Unbelievable.
And Kenyon Evans didn't play, but, I mean, Kenyon Evans doesn't play defense.
No.
I don't know if he plays if Glen Rose wins that game, because they couldn't stop Alvarado.
Yeah.
You know? And Cartier Collier just, he went off, and he's, every game he does, he's been doing this for 3 years. He's unbelievable.
Hitchcock and Silsby. If you needed the assurance that what you saw from Hitchcock against Belleville was for real, I think mm-hmm. you got it against Silsby. Like, that was like, you can believe it now. Like, you can believe that they've figured things out and that they've got the juice. I don't know. I mean, I'll just say this. There was a moment there when they were struggling in the first couple of weeks that I was like, that Columbus and Hitchcock game is not going to be what we thought. And now it's back to box office.
Sure. Oh, yeah, for sure. It's, you know, Hitchcock, let's look at, you know, legacy, Houston legacy there. That's a mm-hmm. common opponent of Hitchcock and Franklin. Mm-hmm. Hitchcock lost a legacy by a point, needed a field goal at the very end mm-hmm. They were kicking a field goal to win the game
mm-hmm.
and missed it. And legacy beat Franklin last week
mm-hmm.
By a touchdown. So that ought to tell you right there, but this common opponent that you know, Hitchcock, it's a three, region three is a 3-horse race and maybe a 4-horse race, depending on what we think of Palisade and Westwood.
Yeah.
Region three and 3A Division I, when we get to the playoffs, is going to be a fireworks factory.
It's going to be great. Canadian and Sunray. Okay. Sunray picked off Canadian 8 times.
Yeah. I think Armando Lujan had an interception.
Yeah.
He was out there playing defense.
I mean, I will tell you, like, this is the, I'm going to keep hammering this home. Yes, Armando Lujan is the real deal. And yes, he is probably going, barring injury, he's going to set the career passing record. If you are looking at Sunray and thinking that's just the Armando Lujan team, you're wrong. They
Their defense is great.
They have shown they are a complete team.
Against a really good schedule.
Yes.
Sunray's non-district schedule is crazy good for a school, a 2A Division I school, barely a 2A Division I school. Like, they barely were over the cut line. And they're playing Canadian, Childress.
Let me tell you.
Beat Stratford.
We toyed with the idea of dropping Canadian from the rankings. We ended up keeping them in. But this is now, I want to say, 3 weeks in a row where we've got some pretty, like, they've either lost or they've come close. Like, mm-hmm. they lost. They beat Muleshoe, but that was that 74-67 yeah. game.
I think this is the first, you know, this is one of those rare years where I don't think Canadian is a foregone conclusion in Region 1, 3, Division 2 this year.
They've had Region 1's number. Yeah. But
other than, was it the COVID year when Lubbock Roosevelt won? 2020?
Yeah, 2020.
Yeah. Other than that, Canadians won it basically every year since they moved to 3A from 2A, mm-hmm. 2016, I think. Mm-hmm. So
they won the 2015 title.
I think this is a, I mean, I could see Wall or mm-hmm. Muleshoe. I think mm-hmm. those are the two chief challengers right now.
I think if Canadian plays Muleshoe again, like the way Muleshoe's going, Muleshoe did it again. Muleshoe
they drilled
doing
Clyde.
It.
Yeah, they put up a 60 some spot on Clyde.
Kilgore and Longview Pine Tree.
I think we said it in the Tep and Step last week. That was going to be a game where two teams took a tire iron to each other and beat the hell out of each other.
17-6 or something.
And it was 17-6. Yeah. So
it was.
Yeah, it was
on brand.
Yeah, it was an on brand football game.
And that's the thing about Kilgore that I just really appreciate about them is that they will just that is the team. They put you in the sharpshooter. Like they get you in the middle of the ring and they put you in the sharpshooter
until you tap out.
Until you tap out.
Yeah. Exactly. And then they're probably going to leave it on a little bit longer just to make a point.
I'm trying to think if there's any other games that we didn't have. We'll talk about the Valley here in a little bit. Oh, Corpus Christi Miller and Sinton. Sinton, signature win.
That was a signature win for Sinton. That was, and unfortunately for Miller, you know, this is, when the book on them has been when you play Miller, you got to be physical with them, mm-hmm. you got to make them uncomfortable, and you'll probably win. Mm-hmm. That's what Sinton did. Mm-hmm. Sinton was physical. They played a tough brand of football. They made life difficult for Miller offensively. They didn't let him, get in space. And when they did, they hit him hard. They were physical. And that's the kind of football that Mike Trautman, just look at a Mike Trautman interview. That's
intensity.
That's just how he is. And that's how his team plays. And his teams have played like that in the past. But they haven't had, I don't think, the physical skill talent they have on this year's team.
Tristan Hansen's the real deal.
And Jacoby Jones, mm-hmm. the receiver. They've got the running back in Garcia. They've got pieces to go along with that mentality. I think right now, I think Sinton, Wimberley is probably still the favorite because they've just been the favorite. Cuero's going to be there as well, but I think there's a plausible case for Sinton to win Region 4 this year.
I think we saw how that could happen this past weekend. So
it's a great win for them over Miller.
It really is. It really is. Anyway, we're going to look back at Week 5. It's time for our Week 6 game draft. If this is your first episode of Tep and Step, welcome. Here's how it works. Step and I, sorry, VNA's looking at me because I touched the microphone and made a noise.
Don't make VNA mad.
I will not. That's my number one goal in life is to make sure VNA's not mad at me. If this is your first episode of Tep and Step, welcome. Here's how it works. Step and I go back and forth selecting games that we are most interested in. That's the phrase that mm-hmm. pays. Mm-hmm. Most interested in. So if you want to draft
Fort Worth Western Hills and Fort Worth Diamond Hill Jarvis,
you can draft Fort Worth Western Hills and Fort Worth Diamond Hill Jarvis. Might be DHJ's best chance to win a game this year.
Might be. Yeah, go Eagles.
Go Eagles. We love Western Hill, too. It's good years, but anyway, yeah.
By the way, if you're ever in Diamond Hill, go eat at Granny's Tacos. Granny's Tacos.
That's why you listen. That's
it's,
why
it's tacos, and you can get your car inspected there.
That's the premium of the premium podcast, folks. But we will go back and forth selecting games we're most interested in. We'll go 5 rounds back and forth, and then we will round it all out with our hipster game of the week, a game that's off the board that we are keeping an eye on for whatever reason. Step and I had a coin flip for the show. I won the coin flip. Let's get this out of the way. It is open date apocalypse this week.
It's open date season.
It is. So I crunched the numbers. 34% of the UIL 11-man teams are off this weekend.
Yeah.
34%. Like, there are... I made a joke, like, just like in passing on Twitter about how there's only 520 games this weekend. Mm-hmm. And, like, of course that's a joke, but that's, like, a huge chunk of games that, like, less than more used to having.
Week 4, week 6 are the two big weeks. And then there's other weeks that are sprinkled in the 11. I know the 6-man open
2 weeks
week
from
is
now, week 8 is going to be a ton of 6-man open.
Yeah, it's just the way the schedules fall and, you know, most If you're in a 16 district, you're most likely idle this week, which there's a lot of 16 districts mm-hmm. in the small classifications, and then a lot of the 18 districts mm-hmm. take a bye this week too. So it's one of those things where we know it comes every year. We got to deal with it, and luckily the football gods have blessed us with some really good top end games to talk about this week.
I would contend to you that the upper crust of this week's games is as good as it's ever been.
It's strong.
It's spectacular. There's not a ton of depth just because of the open dates, mm-hmm. but like that top end, oh boy.
Yeah,
which is why I'm glad I have to pick 1-1. 7 o'clock Friday night at Turner Stadium in Humble.
Okay.
Live on Dave Campbell's Texan Live.
No.
It is a matchup of unbeatens. Is a the beginning of the District 23-6A round robin of death as the Humble Summer Creek Bulldogs take on the Humble Atascocita Eagles in what is actually number one versus number two in our computer rankings.
Really?
Atascocita is one and Summer Creek is two.
Did not know that.
And they're separated. Right now, this is a pick 'em. This is a too close to call game.
Okay.
And I believe it. Atascocita, we've talked a lot about them because of they've played a star-studded, loaded non-district schedule, and they have passed every test with flying colors. They go to Katy, and they beat Katy.
Mm-hmm.
7 days later, they go to Westlake, and they beat Westlake. And then after an open date, underrated, they went out and drilled a good CE King team.
Yeah.
That's a good... That's the fourth... That's, in my opinion, the fourth place team in that mm-hmm. district, mm-hmm. 23-6A. And they built a trebuchet and launched them into the ocean. It was a demolition. It's really impressive. And this was the game where Tori Blaylock said, enough talk about Carday Mac. Like,
I'm good too.
He's fun.
I'm going to OU.
But I'm an OU-bound running back. Yeah. What if I run for 6 touchdowns?
Just for funsies. You know?
He was, and they were not, Pickle brought this up on TFT, they were not like 2-yard plunges. They were like 66-yard mm-hmm, touchdown mm-hmm. run and then like a 54-yard touchdown run, and just the burst that he has is outrageous. And that's, by the way, like I said, a good CE King team mm-hmm. that had no answers. No answers. And by the way, their defense has been excellent as well. But if you want to talk about excellent defense, Matt Sepp, let me ask you a question. How many points have you given up in the 2024 Texas high school football season? You, Matt Sepp.
Me personally?
Yeah, you.
Zero.
Zero. That's interesting. How many points has Humble Summer Creek allowed in 2024?
That would be zero as well.
So you and Humble Summer Creek, the same.
Yeah, exactly the same.
Exactly
no difference.
The same
yeah.
in every way. They've outscored their four opponents 215-0.
That's crazy.
Four shutout. This is like, remember last year when Honeygrove was doing this? Honeygrove, like mm-hmm. the first 6 weeks, they pitched 6 shutouts. And their defense was just out of control. This Summer Creek defense is legit. And we knew it was going to be good. Chad Woodfork, Brandon Jones, they are relentless. And by the way,
it's shocking how good they've been on defense.
It's unbelievable. Like, to go 4 consecutive shutouts at 6A mm-hmm. is... Like, if Mark gets into district, quite frankly, like, respectfully, or, like, some of these other teams that are, like, a lot better, like, LBJ gets into their district and they pitch 4 consecutive shutouts, mm-hmm. we'd be like, yeah, okay. But they played, like, Houston Lamar. They played Shadow Creek.
Yeah.
And they shut them out.
Mm-hmm.
They do not have the resume that Atascocita has, but that's because I don't think anybody has the resume that Atascocita has. But they've beaten everybody in their path. Also, they could score. Blake Thomas, their quarterback.
I've not watched Summer Creek in person this year. But I have seen, honestly, most of their games have been over yeah. with by halftime. But I've watched the first half of the Shadow Creek game and watched the first half of last week's game. And, Blake Thomas has taken that step as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. He was a converted receiver to quarterback. And, you know, last year there were times where he struggled a little bit learning a new position. But he's that guy right mm-hmm. now. He's running that. People thought the offense would struggle without Lloyd Avant, and he's taken that offense into another level. And the receiving core has improved this year. Mm-hmm. Summer Creek is lethal throwing the ball.
Yeah, they're really good. Um, like, obviously the money matchup here, I don't need to tell you. We've been talking about it. It's Atascocita when they have the ball. Mm-hmm. Like, when Atascocita has the ball against this Summer Creek defense, can they score? Can they move the ball consistently? It's almost, like, impossible to split these two teams, but I think that Atascocita being battle-tested is why they have to be the small favorite in this one. The fact that they have gone up, I think that Summer or Atascocita has played a team comparable to Summer Creek in Westlake. Mm-hmm. I think that's a decent comp, especially on the defensive side. I do not think that Summer Creek has played a team as explosive as Atascocita, and that, I think, is the difference in this one. I think that Atascocita wins a close one. There's no real playoff implications in this one, because aside from, like, don't lose another game.
Sure.
But, like, because they're going D1, D2.
Yeah.
But this is box office stuff, man. I
guess your only playoff implication would be, like, Summer for, because in 6A, even though they are D1, D2, that hosting of the first round playoff game is based on your district seed. So let's say Summer Creek loses to Atascocita and they finish third in district. Mm-hmm. Even though they're the D2 one seed, if they finish third in district, there's a chance they may not host.
Yes,
that's true. They may actually have to go on the road.
Yeah,
depending on, or go a neutral site.
Yeah, and who's District 24?
That's at Clear Falls, Dickinson.
Yeah.
So they're from a hosting standpoint. There's something on the line.
Yeah.
So you want to win this game. It's a big deal in Humble ISD, those two. And I'm hearing it's. I mean, I know Summer Creek side is already sold out.
Not surprising.
Atascocita side is probably going to be sold out. If it's not already sold out, it'll be a complete sellout. So, if you don't have a ticket, I know this really cool website, Texan Live, that you can watch the game on.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
I like Atascocita in a close one. I think it's a close one, though. That's my first pick. Who do you like in that game?
Who did I pick? I took Summer Creek by two.
No, I think Summer Creek. I can't blame you.
Yeah, I went with defense. I mean, I lean defense a lot of the time, and Summer Creek's defense is elite. So.
It's elite. And by the way, they'll be elite even after this game, even if they lose, because Texas is elite. What is your first pick, Matthew?
Well, 7 o'clock Friday night at Bearcat Stadium in Aledo.
Tim Buchanan Stadium.
Oh, is it Tim Buchanan Stadium now? Oh, excuse me. Sorry, Coach Buck.
He's going to get after you, too. You know he takes these
things. Oh, I know. He's going to text me. I know. You know, he's just chopped liver over here like 47 state championships or whatever.
Exactly right.
Just chopped liver. Coach Buck State. I'm going to call it Coach Buck State.
What's it going, the Buck?
As the, it's number one and number two. Number one in 5A Division I, Denton Ryan, visiting number two in 5A Division I, Aledo. And lots on the line here. We got potentially a district title on the line. Richland may have something to say about that. Although Richland got some concerns. Defense not playing as well as they had earlier. And then Baylor commit running back Michael Turner's out for the year with an injury.
Oh, I didn't know that. That sucks.
Yeah, he posted on Twitter he had surgery. And so hope he gets healthy. And
ban injuries. The official stance of Tep and Step is that we should ban injuries.
So I think these are the two, you know, best teams in the district, and two teams that, you know, this might be the first of two meetings.
Could be.
Another thing, something else is on the line. Hasn't been in danger very often, but could be potentially in danger this week. Aledo's 122-game district winning streak.
Spoiler alert for the picks video, which will be out by the time you watch this on Friday. 6,209 days.
Yeah.
Okay? George W. Bush was the president.
Yeah. Been a long time.
The last time they lost a district game.
Yes. I was in attendance.
Who beat them?
I was there at that game.
Who was it that beat them?
Oh, it's a little scrappy team in South Fort Worth, Everman Bulldogs. It was a great day.
35-28.
It was a great day at J.E. Marsh Stadium when we beat Aledo. Yeah. We had a little winning streak over Aledo. We beat him the next year in the second round of the playoffs.
How about that?
Jonathan, only playoff game Jonathan Gray ever lost was to Everman.
I was wondering what that number was.
Take that, High School Football Hall of Famer Jonathan Gray.
Yeah, we beat you your freshman year. I don't remember the other 3 years.
All he did was go on to be like one of the best players ever.
Well, hey, freshman year, baby. And so there's a lot on the line here. Denton Ryan, both teams dominant. Denton Ryan just punts Granberry into the sun, 63-20. Ryan unleashes the passing game. Quinn Hennigan throws for 7 touchdowns in the first half.
Another Hennigan.
They're everywhere.
They can't keep getting away with it.
Yeah. Denton Ryan quarterbacks. Yeah, and just, they're all this, you know.
Well, it's like, a, well, it, I mean, Alito's one to talk with all the bishops.
Yeah, yeah.
They had a million bishops at quarterback.
No more bishops, though.
Exactly right, yeah.
And, you know, I think Granberry had 35 yards rushing on the night. I mean, just it was a blowout. They were overmatched. Well, speaking of overmatched, Fossil Ridge was overmatched against Alito, 63-3. Fossil Ridge had 100 yards of offense, total offense for the night. You can't really take much from those two games. They Denton Ryan and Alito were clearly better than their two opponents in that district game. Alito's already 3-0 in district play, 9-team district. These two have been kind of eyeing each other for at least 3 weeks now. We knew this was kind of – once they got out of non-district, both played a pretty good non-district schedule, we knew we were kind of on this collision course. Ryan surprised Alito last year, gave him a really tough game.
And that was a relatively young Ryan team.
I think Alito had to score late to win that game. And I think that's when Ryan kind of discovered themselves, you know, when Braden Musset – they went with Braden Musset at quarterback – kind of went to more of a running offense, and it worked for Ryan last year. Musset's at receiver now. I think Musset had 3 touchdown catches last week. So they moved him back to receiver, which is his natural position as Hennigan has matured and been able to take the reins of the offense. Ryan's going to have to be balanced to beat Alito. One thing you know Alito is going to be offensively is they're going to be balanced. They are racing Guillory at running back. They got Caden Finley at receiver. The young quarterback is getting better and better each week. He's talented.
He struggled in week one against Guyer, but he's grown up. Beard, I think his name is?
Yeah, Gavin Beard. Yes. And so we know Alito is going to be good up front. This is going to be a really good battle because Brian, they're mature. They're good up front. It's going to come down to, I think, which defense can get a couple of stops late, especially. This is going to be one of those games that comes down to the end. Who gets a stop late? And I ain't picking against a streak.
No.
I'm not picking against a streak. Preseason, I was more Denton Ryan wins the regular season game. Maybe Alito gets him in the playoffs. But the game's in Alito. I can't see that district winning streak coming to an end in Alito. It's going to come to an end at some point. Breaking, Alito will lose a district game at some point.
You don't know that. No,
they are not going to lose a district game before the rapture. So it's going to be a district loss at some point. But I don't think it's happening this week.
I agree with you.
Oh, by the way, this game's on Texan Live as well.
It is on Dave Campbell's Texan Live. I am picking against a streak, especially at home. But Ryan can do it.
Absolutely.
I'll say this.
This is not, this is one of those things I wouldn't be shocked if Ryan won the game.
I think this is the biggest threat to the streak in a long time, even more than maybe the 2022 Ryan Alito game. We kind of go into that game, we thought Ryan might have the juice, but Alito kind of...
Yeah, Alito beat him bad that year. Yeah. There was 1 year Timberview was really strong, and I think we thought Timberview had a shot. And I think they pushed Alito, but Alito was just had a little too much for him. There haven't been a ton of these, I think Midlothian maybe, not the playoff game, but there was a regular season game, I think Midlothian maybe took Alito to overtime. Mm-hmm. In 2018. Mm-hmm. So there's been a couple of tests, but for the most part, these district games for Alito have been, you know, decided basically before the team, when the bus showed up, we knew Alito was going to win by 40. So it doesn't happen very often, but I think this is a game where Alito's going to get pushed, but I like Alito to hang on to the streak.
Nemo Warmate, that's the name for me.
Yeah.
He's got the running back for Ryan. He's got to be an impact player in this game just to open up and balance that offense. Because I think you're right. Like if you're one dimensional, the game is over. Like it's over. Mm-hmm. They're not going to lose that game. So a fascinating ball game. All right, my second pick, Matthew. 7:00 Friday night at Kermit Corville Stadium in Galveston.
Let's head out to the island.
Let's go to the island, baby.
Recently remodeled stadium, too. Very nice.
At District 9-5A Division 1 action, as the Port Arthur Memorial Titans take on the Galveston Ball Golden Tornadoes.
Like, get it right. The Golden Tornadoes.
The Golden Tours in a state-ranked showdown with star power out the wazoo.
Mm-hmm.
Especially defensively. There's so much star power here. Port Arthur Memorial, I think, has very quietly bobbed along, put together a real... They've kind of stuck at 10th in the state, like, all year long. Mm-hmm. Be like, yeah, they're about the 10th best team in the state.
Yeah.
And
they stayed in the rankings after losing to Hightower. They pushed Hightower. Mm-hmm. It was a really good game. They may have gone to overtime.
Yeah. They lost to overtime to an undefeated 6A Hightower team on the road in Mo City. So, like, classic good loss. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and 5A playing up against a 6A. Yeah, for sure.
Their defense is star-studded. Tyon King, Michael Riles, they have got dudes all over the place on this defense. And the running game for Port Arthur Memorial has really blossomed behind Amonte Martin. They have been really good. They have, you know, quietly plowed forward. They're 4-1. Ball is star-studded as well. Ball has got the star.
They do. They have the guy.
This is the first time. It's weird to say this for because Memorial's got so many dudes. This is the first time they will not have the most talented player on the field.
No.
Because Jonah Williams, the Texas commit, the superstar do-it-all athlete.
Yeah.
At Galveston,
the guy the ball.
He's something else, man. He is. He can beat you in all three phases at every snap. Yeah. It's amazing. Mm-hmm.
If he's on the field, you have to account for him, and you really have to try to take him away. Even on special teams, like, he'll block a kick on you.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
He's like freaky. It's like freakish. Yeah. He's unbelievable. He can make his impact felt everywhere. I do think, much like we talked about with Sunray, if you look at Sunray and say, "Oh, well, that's just the Armando Luan team," you're wrong. If you look at Ball and you just say they're just the Jonah Williams team, you're wrong. Their team is balanced. Their team is, I think, talented all over. They're good in the trenches. They've got a quarterback that I think is growing up in Kaiden Barker. They're the real deal. They are a good team that has a superstar. Mm-hmm. They're not just a team with a superstar. And that's the thing that's interesting about this.
Yeah, Ball is much better than just Jonah Williams. They've got guys around him, which is what's separated them this year than from previous
exactly
years.
Right. This does feel like a too close to call situation. I think it's a fabulous game down there in Galveston. But one team has Jonah Williams, and I just think that's the difference. Like, when in doubt, if the game is close, you just assume he's going to put on the cape. And he's going to do something spectacular and win the game. And I think that's what's going to happen. I think this game is close. I think Memorial, especially that running game, if they can get that going and grind clock, I think Memorial can win this game in a critical, critical District 9-5A game, D1 game, I think probably for the district title.
I think home field, to get from Port Arthur to Galveston is tough. It's not an easy...
Yeah.
Because the road...
If you're up here in the DFW or you're in, like, West Texas and you think, like, oh, well, those two teams are close to each other, they are not.
No, it's not easy to get there because there used to be a road that you could take from Port Arthur to kind of get to that backside of Galveston there, but one of the hurricane washed it out 10 years ago, and now you basically have to go
inland, yeah.
Into Houston and then go back down 45. I think there's a ferry, but it doesn't run something. It's hard to get from Port Arthur to Galveston. Can you imagine having to take a ferry to a game?
Yeah.
But like it's hard to get there. It's not an easy trip for Port Arthur and Galveston. I guarantee you when Ball's cooking like they are right now, there's China.
Hi, China. Hi, China.
Awesome. This studio's too soundproof. She can't hear us. When Galveston Ball's cooking, that place is Kermit Corville Stadium's a hornet's nest. Mm-hmm. It's an old stadium. It's been remodeled. It's beautiful, but it's right in the middle of a neighborhood. The fans are on top of you. It's gonna be a fun atmosphere.
The fans are and they're into it like that. That's an underrated football crazy part of the state.
Agreed.
Is down there on the coast. So down there on the beach. I like Ball in a close one, but I think it's box office stuff. It's a fabulous, fabulous game. What's your second pick, Matthew?
I'm gonna go a little small school. It's a tough week in the small schools, but we do have some games. Most of them are non-district. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna go 7:00 Friday night at Wigwam Stadium in Seminole.
Mm-hmm.
Undefeated Hereford, the White Faces, the Hostile Herd, take on the undefeated Seminole Indians in a really tasty, maybe the game of the week out west this week. It's a really, really good matchup.
This is something that only literally I think about. But I wonder when the last time that the Hereford White Faces and the White Face Antelopes were both undefeated this time, this deep of the season. And That's something only I think about. I think that's just me.
Maybe you, or maybe like one weirdo in the panhandle or something. Maybe, yeah. You know,
like Cale Steed, who is a weirdo.
He's a weirdo. Weirdo. Cale or Lance Lonert.
Yeah. 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 You guys are our weirdos. We love you.
Yeah, we do.
But yeah, I wonder the last time that's happened.
Is there a quieter undefeated team than Hartford? They haven't been talked about much. They've just kind of been bobbing along, beating people on the panhandle. Adam Naren's squad, you know, he's turned that program. There was a couple of years ago they were 0-10. He's done a great job turning that thing around. And they've got playmakers. You know, Brylan Lopez, Caleb Ramirez at quarterback. They got guys. They got dudes. Caleb Ramirez is also a really highly touted baseball player as well. Mm. Really, that's the reason why they didn't go to State 7-on-7 is Caleb Ramirez was not available, and he's their quarterback. And, you know, I get it. So, they beat Perryton 2 weeks. They've had a bye week, so they're coming off a bye week. So that's interesting, coming off a bye into a non-district game. But 2 weeks ago, their last game, they beat Perryton 41-13. Lopez runs for 140 yards and 4 touchdowns. Ramirez throws for 2 touchdowns and 205 yards. Very balanced attack from Hartford. They're going to be in for – this is their biggest test of the year. This Seminole team is really good. They're kind of starting to build as, you know, 4A Division II. Most people think it's going to go through Glenrose, Brock, Graham. Those are kind of the three teams to watch.
It's funny you said Hartford might be the most under-the-radar undefeated team in the state. I think Seminole has got a case for that, too.
They are. And because everybody's talking about those three, nobody's talking about Seminole in 4A Division II Region I, and I think they should. Mm-hmm. This is a team really good up front on both sides of the ball. They've got a great quarterback in Wyatt Holmstrom. He had a monster game last week, throws 5 first-half touchdown passes. I get it. It's against Denver City. Denver City's overmatched. But Seminole did what you should do to a team like that. You dominate them. And you look at Seminole's resume, it's very good. They've beaten some good teams as they're off to this 5-0 start. I think the difference is up front here. I like Seminole's play in the trenches, and I think the quarterback, the skill positions, Hartford may even have a slight edge, but I think Seminole's edge up front is going to be too much. At home, it's a long trip from Hartford down to Seminole, and I know it's a long trip for West Texas standards. Like I think it's like 4 hours. Long trip. Give me Seminole. I think the rule of the long travel and non-district hits here. Give me Seminole to go 6-0 in a district play.
I agree. I think Seminole's your slight favorite in this one, if only because, as you mentioned, the trench play. Hartford's got probably the skill talent position, like the skill talent advantage in this one, but I think that Seminole is going to be better up front, and I think especially at home, that's going to be the advantage there, so I like that pick. You know, I am notoriously known as a Southeast Texas homer. I think people know this about me.
Of course.
Like I'm known far and wide.
Yes. I mean, we talked about the what we talked about last week, the Etouffee Fountain.
Yeah, Etouffee Fountain.
Yeah.
Matt Stepp, 7 o'clock? 7 o'clock. Friday night at Huntsville ISD Stadium in the woods, in the piney woods, the deep, deep piney woods, back behind the curtain. You see the Sam Houston statue.
The big giant Sam Houston statue on
giant
45.
Sam Houston statue. Yeah. I told my buddy, or I had a friend who went to Sam, and I asked him one time, I was like, you know, like, because there's a prison there. I don't know if you know that. Like, the federal penitentiary is there.
State pen.
Yeah. State pen. And I remember asking him, I was like, do you ever, like, you know, you're living in next to a prison. Like, are you ever, like, feel nervous? He's like, no, man. Like, there are more cops in this town than like this is like the safest place in the state.
Fair.
Absolutely.
Fair, yeah.
As the Huntsville Hornets welcome in the Port Neches Groves Indians in a newly state ranked matchup, as Huntsville cracked the top 10 of 5A.
Okay.
All right. 8-5A Division 2 action. We'll talk about Huntsville in a moment. Matt Stepp, Port Neches Groves 62, Montgomery Lake Creek 56.
So I went back and watched a lot of this game. Yeah, I went back and watched a lot of this online. I think I'm sure Jeff Joseph is just pulling his hair out because he is not used to getting PNG's defense got torched.
They got lit up.
Luckily, PNG's offensive line might be that performance last week. They were opening holes that me and Greg Powers would pick up 120 yards.
Yeah.
Like, they were just blowing up. Like, you could literally drive a car through some of those holes. Their running backs were just, you know, Tyson Henry and
Blair Chenier.
Yes. Shetanya is
and Isaiah Nguyen. Yeah,
yeah, just blowing up, open gigantic holes through the middle of the Lake Creek defense.
Their offensive line's unbelievable.
Yeah, just it was impressive, and they needed it. They needed it because
they needed Lake every Creek, bit.
Yeah, it was a wild game. P&G's defense got to stop late. They stacked Eli Morcos late. Lake Creek was driving to win the game. Mm-hmm. They were in the red zone. And so credit to P&G. Their defense did step up when they needed it. But a little bit concerning there because I don't think they're going to be able to dominate Huntsville's defense like they dominated Lake Creek's defense. So the P&G offensive line just completely controlled that game.
11-0, Jeff Joseph in one score games.
That's correct. Yeah.
That's the silliest thing. Yeah. We had him on High School Scoreboard Live after that game, and like we were in a commercial break. I'm like, and I was just like giggling. He was like, "You guys are already laughing." I was like, "I just like, I'm sure you're just thrilled to come on here talking about like giving up 56 points." He goes, "Yeah, but we got to win." He's like, we asked him about the 11-0 in one score games. He goes, "I just think that's an overrated stat. It just means we're getting our ass kicked whenever we lose." It's like, which is true. Great point.
They don't lose very often though. No, so
exactly right. Credit to him. But you're exactly right. The running game, Blair Chitanya and Isaiah Nguyen were fantastic, and they need it to be. I will say this. I feel very good about this. If they play like that against Huntsville, they will lose.
Yeah, Huntsville's a better defensive ball club than Lake Creek.
Yes.
They may not be quite as explosive offensively as Lake Creek, although Huntsville's got some dudes.
Trayshawn Brown is a dude, and Zay Adolphe, they got some cats.
They do. The key for Huntsville, I think, is consistency at the QB spot. Mm-hmm. They got a big offensive line that's solid. They've got playmakers. They need that consistency at quarterback.
Yeah.
And they don't need their quarterback to be the star. They just need a guy who can distribute the football to those playmakers.
Huntsville dropped their opener, but they've been consistently improving week in and week out.
The Brenham game was weird. Number one, Brenham's better than we thought. Yeah. Jacoby Dixon, unbelievable. And I think Huntsville got off to they dug a 20-0 hole. Mm-hmm. They ended up climbing out of the hole, and then Brenham, but they just dug themselves too big of a hole, and Brenham came away with the win. Credit to them. The Cubs are very good. But I think that because Huntsville, since that point, has been unbelievable. They went to Cedar Park and beat Cedar Park. Cedar Park the week before had just beat Vandegrift.
Yeah.
Is a really good 6A opponent.
This is a good Huntsville team. They are better than Lake Creek, in my opinion. They are at least very different than Lake Creek.
Yes.
And I think match up in a way to beat P&G if P&G farts around like they did last week. All that said, I don't think they're going to lay two defensive eggs in a row. I think last week, I do not think this has been a fun week in Groves. I think Jeff Joseph has been doing some coaching.
Yeah.
He and that staff.
Trying to fix some things defensively.
Trying to fix a couple things. I think they play better. I think they get a win. But I was already intrigued by this game, and then you saw what happened last week, and you're going, what's going on here? So we will find out if it's a mirage. If P&G goes out there and dominates defensively, it's a one-week, fart in the wind. Yeah. But if not, it could become a trend real quickly, and then we really have to recalibrate. Because I will tell you this, Texas High, South Oak Cliff, some of these other teams in Region 2.
Oh, Region 2, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like, Region 2 is loaded.
Region 2 is loaded. And you'll get exposed. If you are not up to snuff defensively, you will get exposed quick.
Yes. Here's the thing that we also have to keep in mind, just looking at the way the brackets fall, is South Oak Cliff, I need to confirm my district numbers here real quick.
You're listening to live coverage of Matt Stepp looking at a spreadsheet here on Teppan's.
Okay.
A family-friendly
podcast. Let's say this. If you're the runner-up in District 8, if you finish second in District 8, let's go ahead and pencil South Oak Cliff as the winner of District 5.
Wow, bold.
Bold. Well, Greg Powers had a great stat. Last 5 years, South Oak Cliff's outscored their district opponents 517-3.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Well, so we can pencil South Oak Cliff in as the number one seed.
Okay.
If you finish second in District 8, you're playing South Oak Cliff in the second round of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So, Huntsville, let's say for grins, Huntsville beats P&G.
Because, by the way, not easy to go to Huntsville and win.
No. That new stadium, they're going to be rocking. Mm-hmm. Friday night, a brand new stadium. They don't play at Bowers anymore. Mm-hmm. They have a stadium on campus. They fill that place up. We could see Sauk P&G in the area playoffs.
God almighty.
That's how crazy this. So just keep that in the back of your mind.
A lot of implications there.
A lot of down the road implications as well in this game.
What's your third pick, Matthew?
7 o'clock, Friday night, in Texarkana. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the name of the stadium. I think it's Hobson Field in that Texarkana. Right. How can anyone even know that? Texas Bob, help me out. As the Tatum Eagles visit Texarkana to take on the Liberty ILO Leopards.
Tatum back in the rankings.
In a really juicy District 8, I think it's 8-3A Division 3D1.
1. I can check that.
How could any, yeah, while it, this district's loaded, there's another really good game in that district as well this week.
Yes, there is.
Atlanta and Jefferson.
8-3A D1. Yeah. You're sick.
Atlanta and Jefferson. How about those Atlanta Rabbits? Four, you ready to buy in yet?
No.
Okay. They beat Jefferson. Are you buying in?
Maybe.
Okay. Fair. All right, there you go, Rabbits. Get it done.
I'm not leaving. I'm not falling for it.
Tatum is since Whitney Keeling took over, Tatum's been fine, but they haven't had that year that they break through and really reestablish themselves as that powerhouse in East Texas. They've just been fine. Off to a great start this year. They're averaging 42 points a game to start the year. They're 4-1. They're putting up big numbers. And last week they opened up district play 63-0 over Sabine. Mm-hmm. Now Sabine is wounded. Their star Cody Gilbert's the coach. Their star player committed to Texas Tech. He's out for the year.
Yeah,
quarterback.
Yeah.
He's out for the year with an injury. So Sabine's really wounded. Tatum took advantage. They blew the Cardinals out of the water. Corey Bradley, 2 passing touchdowns, rushes for a touchdown. Caden Tatum, a great name if you're the running back at Tatum. Mm-hmm. Your last name is Tatum. 138 yards rushing, 3 touchdowns. Jamarco Gibson, 92 yards and a touchdown. Just typical Whitney Keeling offensive stuff. Mm-hmm. Just spreading the ball around to a bunch of speedy running backs who are going to make you pay. Defense played well as well, pitching the shutout. They're going to have to be on it this week because this Brad Willard offense at Liberty ILO is cooking. They bounce back nice from their loss to Carthage. They go on the road and beat Bullard 27-24. And you're thinking, oh, it's Bullard. Bullard's a much improved 4A team. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing about Liberty ILO in this game was they had to come back from a 24-7 deficit. Mm. They rally late, score 20 points in the second half to beat Bullard 27-24. And Trip Basinger, the quarterback, he's a coach's kid. He runs that offense well. He is the perfect
he's fun, man.
Leader of that Brad Willard fun offense that Liberty ILO runs. They got a stud receiver. Prevo is his name. Big time, you know, all the recruiting folks know him. Liberty ILO, we thought when they dropped from 4A to 3A, they would be a problem. They're proven to be a problem. They're 3-1 on the year. They haven't played. This is their district opener, so we know what they're going to be. And they've had 2 weeks to prepare. This game was 2 weeks ago. They had the Boulder game was 2 weeks ago. They had a bye last week. 2 weeks to get ready for the flex bone. That's going to be a big edge for Liberty. Because most of the time, teams that play Tatum, they get ready for that offense with 1 week. That extra week of prep is going to be huge for Liberty ILO in this game. And they're at home. I like LE in a classic. This district, every week in 8-3A Division 1, you're going to run into some really good games. Because we haven't mentioned Gladewater, much improved. White Oak, much improved this year. It's a really good and deep East Texas 3A district.
I like Tatum. I think they find a way. But you're right. This is a great, great small school game. In a week where there's not a ton of big time small school games, that is a real gem out there in East Texas. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think I like Tatum, but I think it's going to be a close one. I think it's a good pick. It is a good week in the big schools. I am going to shift away from Southeast Texas for a moment. 7 o'clock, Friday night. At C.H. Collins Stadium in Denton. We're going to do it. Matt Stepp, it's the Denton Geyer Wildcats.
What a homer.
And the Coppell Cowboys.
Can we, V&A, can we take anything seriously that Greg Tepper says
in
about this game?
State-ranked showdown.
What a homer.
This is the first time I've ever drafted a Coppell game.
I can't, I don't.
You've drafted one. I think they won maybe a hipster game, or you might have even drafted it like legit.
In Coppell Louisville last year, or something like that.
Yeah, we've drafted it. You've drafted it before. I never have.
You've purposely avoided Coppell.
I have. I can't avoid it anymore.
It's because you went to your 20-year reunion last week. Right? That's
I
what
did.
It was.
I'm all geeked up on Cowboy Fight.
I thought you were gonna bust out your Letterman jacket here.
For real? Did you wear it?
I can't. I know.
What was the bet about if they won state or something? You were going to wear your Letterman jacket into the office,
yeah, something like that.
Yeah, on the show.
I think they were playing. They had like a big game against like it was whatever playoff game they lost. It was like Byron Nelson. Like if they lose that, if they
Steph
win this game,
knows. Steph knew immediately.
Oh yeah, I had it on my calendar.
I've tried to avoid it because I don't want to be seen as partial.
Sure, sure.
Right.
And you are. Like when I talk about Everman, I'm usually.
It's a joke.
Yeah, it's a joke. Yeah. It's a bit.
It's a bit. I try, but like, I don't want to come off as partial. I can't ignore it anymore. Matt Stepp, Coppell's really good.
Oh, gosh.
They are.
I'm
just kidding.
I'm serious.
They are. Antonio, what he's done at that program.
It's unbelievable.
It's incredible. It really is. Antonio Wiley is awesome.
They drill Hebron last week.
It's a good Hebron team.
It's a good Hebron team.
Hebron beat Lancaster, who just beat Cedar. Like, Hebron's not bad.
Yeah. Lancaster's going to make the playoffs out of either the toughest or second toughest mm-hmm. district mm-hmm. in the state. And it was two guys. It was Edward Griffin, Eddie G, EG3, they call him. I made that up. And Tucker Cusano, their wide receiver, the mm-hmm. Rice commit, who just, I think they connected three times. For touchdowns, and it was just bombs away.
Yeah.
And against a Hebron team that I think is pretty good defensively, and they just bodied them.
They beat Hebron by 35. Like, that's a
really
five touchdown win. Very impressive.
But, like, hell comes to Frogtown here because Denton Guyer is, in my opinion, probably the final boss in this district. I think this is a district championship game. There may be some. Who else is in that mix?
Louisville's dangerous because Louisville's talented. They're young, but they're very talented.
Well, they needed overtime to win the axe last week.
But I mean, Marcus isn't bad.
Marcus ain't bad. It's a good district.
Got the young quarterback Nussmeier. Getting on the Nuss bus.
The Nuss bus. You writing that down? The Guyer's legit, and Guyer.
Colton Nussmeier. Come on, V.
I made the point in the preseason. And I'll say it again. I think this Denton Guyer team is like last year's Ryan team in that I think they're a year away from being really good.
Yes, they got some young talent that is impressive.
They're a year away from being really good, but they're still pretty good right now.
For sure.
Last week they go and they rally against Flower Mound and win that game 44-36. And this, you know, Kevin Sperry, their quarterback, it's been up and down. The Oklahoma commit, mm-hmm. it's been up and down. When he's good, when he's flashed, he's looked like, oh, yeah, that's what they see.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been consistent. And I wonder if there's just a getting used to the scheme type.
I think there's a lot to be said for that. You know, he moves in from Oklahoma, and he, you know, late, you know, didn't get a full off season. You know, hasn't been in the system that long. Yeah, I think the reads probably aren't mm-hmm. second nature to him, that kind of thing. Yeah.
I will say this about Guyer. I think that their defense, obviously, look, they have a win over Alito. That is an elite win, mm-hmm. plain and simple. I think their defense is strong. They're opportunistic. I think they forced four turnovers last week against Flower Mound. They'll need to do that this week. Mm-hmm. The other thing they'll need to do, that's that they had 200 yards of penalties last week.
Jeez.
You can't do that.
No.
If you do that, the game is over against, like, respectfully to Flower Mound, like an elite, like not mm-hmm. elite, but like a very good opponent in Coppell.
I think Coppell's top 10.
Coppell's top 10. I think this is a huge challenge for Coppell because I think that this Guyer defense is going to challenge them in a way that they haven't been challenged. And a lot of this comes down to Kevin Sperry and what kind of game he has. If he has a great game, Guyer's
the QB matchup in this game is really intriguing.
Really, really
interesting. You got Eddie G mm-hmm. and you got, you know, Kevin Sperry too. Mm-hmm. You know, Baylor commit, OU commit, you got big time quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, this is really. I think Coppell's got the senior leadership, and that's going to be key in this type of big
Weston
game
Polk
atmosphere.
And company, I think Coppell wins a close one, but I think this is a very, very tight game. That fascinating game there at C.H. Collins. I think Coppell comes away with the win, but this is a huge, huge test, and like I think a real litmus test for like how for real are you? Because Coppell's schedule has been good, it hasn't been great. This is a real like this is their toughest test to date, mm-hmm. in my opinion. So. I like Coppell and Guyer. What is your fourth pick, Matthew?
Let's go. Thursday night, 7 o'clock.
Thursday?
At Cy-Fair FCU Stadium. Live on Texan Live. As the Bridgeland Bears.
This is Maximum Bears.
Take on. Have you heard the good news about the 4-0 Cy Springs Panthers led by OG Fagan?
Let me tell you, dude. an early shortlister for Coach of the Year. What he has done there.
Turned that program. That program was an afterthought 3 years ago.
They were, how many Cy Fair ISD teams are there?
There's 12.
They were like 11th or 12th.
Yeah. And they were a playoff team last year, and they're undefeated right now heading into this game. And I think this is the, number one, I think this is the best game in the state on Thursday night.
Yeah. It's a thin Thursday night.
It is. And this is the best game. TexanLive.com. Get there Thursday night. Mm-hmm. Don't watch the NFL. Watch this game on Texan Live.
The NFL is lame.
Especially on Thursday nights. That's a whole other story. I mean, this is a district championship. You've got Bridgeland, who's dominated this district for the past 3 years. Hashtag Maximum Bears. Mm-hmm. I will say, I've got a problem with Bridgeland, though.
Uh-oh.
I don't like the orange jerseys.
Oh.
I look these up.
The orange helmets and orange jerseys. And noted Bridgeland alum Tommy Yarish will agree. I like the
ooh, no. Yeah. The whites are so good.
The whites are great. And I think they should go back to the Navy home jerseys.
You know what? Yeah, the Navies are good too. Yeah, the orange is too much orange.
It's like, just too much
orange. It's real rock. It's giving Rockwall.
It gives me Clemson vibes.
It's giving Clemson.
Yeah, just too much orange. Go back, Coach Lonnie Madison.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Can I get the one shot here, V&A? Lonnie Madison.
Go ahead.
Go back to the Navy jerseys. They look awesome.
You know, that's a brave take, and I appreciate
you doing that. Thank you.
Thank you for your courage.
But they are really good at football. Mm-hmm. And it starts with their two great offensive linemen, Ryan Foggi, OU commit, Jonte Newman, Texas A&M commit. Worst comes to worst, they've got the guys up front that can get it done. Jet Lewis. Now, Bridgeland's also going. They're still going with a 2-QB system. Mm-hmm. Jet Lewis and Tyler Beagle split you know, series. And what I understand, the way the rotation works is they go two series apiece, and then kind of it's a feel thing in the second half. They each get two series, and then the other guy comes in. And in the second half, if one guy's cooking, they'll let him go. The running game is good. They've got Alex Pence Myers. They've got a really tough running sophomore. They've got pieces. But they don't have, to me, when I saw Bridgeland against Ridgepoint, they lacked a little bit of explosiveness. Mm-hmm. They just didn't seem like they had a guy that could take the top off the defense. Cy Springs, on the other hand, I think has those guys. They've got the Richardson twins on the outside, and they've got Paris Melvin Jr. And Paris Melvin Jr. 2 weeks ago went off in their win over Cy Ranch, a good Cy Ranch team. Mm-hmm. Paris Melvin had 150 yards rushing and 3 touchdowns. And he had 161 yards receiving and a touchdown.
And they were like highlight reel runs.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's fun to watch. The young quarterback at Cy Springs, a sophomore, continues to improve. Now, their speed and talent's going to give Bridgeland trouble, much like Ridge Point's speed and talent gave Bridgeland trouble. Mm-hmm. But I think Bridgeland's seen it now. Against Ridge Point, it was their first time going up against a team like that. They've seen it. They've had a week to prepare. And I think Bridgeland's experience in the trenches is going to be the difference in this game. Mm-hmm. Worst comes to worst, push comes to shove. Bridgeland's better up front. They get it done. Maximum Bears takes a huge step towards another district title with a big Thursday night win. This is a top 25 matchup in the state. Both these teams are ranked as well.
Yeah, this is a fun game. I am in on Cy Springs. I'm drinking the OG Fagan Kool-Aid.
Okay. I'm going to be watching this game at my game.
Yeah.
You know, I two-screened it. I got my game in front of me on Thursday nights, and I got the tablet out, and I got Texan Live locked in.
Good stuff. This is an excellent game, and on a Thursday night, this is the best of the bunch. Boy, I hate to just live in Southeast. No, you know what? I'm going to do something else. Now, I was going to do that. I'll tell you what game I was going to take was East Bernard and Rice Consolidated. Super interesting small school game.
It is.
Matchup of a, like, final exam time for Rice Consolidated.
Yes.
Like, so far, so good. You win this one, and everyone pays attention.
Can I, a moment on Rice Consolidated.
A moment on Rice Consolidated with Matt.
People Stone. Like to poo-poo 7-on-7 a lot of the time.
Poo-poo.
Rice Consolidated, we started to see signs of that. Mm-hmm. Down in College Station at State 7-on-7 when they went to the semifinals. Mm-hmm. And it's translating for them. Just saying, that's why we do the 7-on-7 stuff. We see stuff like that, and we're like, okay, keep that in mind when the season comes along. Rice Consolidated, that winning has translated.
All right. It's week 6, big open date week, right?
Big open date week.
Is this
round 5 of the draft?
This is round 5. This is my last pick. Okay. And so I'm going to go off the board, and we can pick this game for whatever reason, right? Mm-hmm. Matt Stepp, 7 o'clock Friday night at Bay City.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I present to you the weirdest game of 2024. I mean that sincerely.
Yes, this is the weirdest game.
As the Carthage Bulldogs, the number one team in 4A Division II, travel to Bay City.
It's a long way.
To take on the San Benito Greyhounds of the Rio Grande Valley.
Shout out to the Greyhounds. We have some really big. San Benito was loves me. Ish is the mayor of San Benito, by the way. Unofficial mayor of San Benito.
When this game came out in February. It started trickling out in February after realignment, and because basically Carthage was looking for, they've already had a bye week. They had their week two open date. And they didn't want to take another open date. And so they were like, well, we got to find someone. Nobody in East Texas will play us. And a lot of them are on district. Week six, like a lot of them.
Yeah, a lot of these are in district play now,
A lot of them are either in district play or they've got the week off, right?
Or they just don't want to play Carthage.
Or they don't want to play Carthage.
Yeah.
So you start looking around. And you're like, okay, we're probably going to have to punch up a classification. But like 5A and 6A, they're almost all in district play. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of these teams are in district play. Where can I go that's looking for non-district games? And so Scott Surratt got on the phone with Dan Dan Gomez and said,
you're in a five-team district, so you got to find six non-district games.
You have to find six non-district games.
Want to play us?
Do you want to play Carthage? And Dan Gomez said,
I mean, they played Austin. San Benito, to their credit, they played Austin Westlake earlier this year. So
they did. Now, here's the thing. Carthage, number one team in 4A Division II. San Benito is 0-5.
They're struggling this year, which is weird. That they're a consistently good program.
They're struggling. They can't score. That's the problem. They're really like offensively.
Talking to folks in the Valley when I was, did you know I was in the Valley last week?
I didn't know you were in the Valley last week.
they're struggling. It's an unusually tough year for San Benito.
It's tough. I am not here to tell you this will be some sort of work of art. I am very interested to see how Carthage handles the depth, because San Benito, needless to say, they have an enrollment of 28-15.
Yeah, they're going to have a lot of kids.
A significant depth advantage. But like Carthage will have the advantage in pretty much every. This is a spectacle game. It's a
weirdo.
What are you two doing here game?
I'm sure most of the San Benito kids have heard of Carthage because Carthage has won so many state championships. Do you think anyone in Carthage any of these kids have heard of San Benito?
For the record, according to Google Maps,
I was just looking at that.
A 4-hour and 25-minute drive from Carthage to Bay City. And honestly, I mean, in a bus, it's going to be, they're probably going to stop and practice.
Going right through Houston, too.
Going right through Houston? Yeah. That's 6 hours.
Yeah.
For a non-district game. It's not a great game. I think Carthage is going to win, but this is the weirdest game of the year.
Because Harlingen is playing Cuero, and at least that's the kind of South Texas.
That's an interesting, and it's an interesting game. I think Harlingen might win that game.
Nothing. I'm not sure anything will ever top my Saturday game in San Antonio a few years ago when Amarillo Tascosa played Brownsville Hannah.
Yes. It's the same thing. You get these in week six because it's like, well,
we have
a six-team district. We have a six-team district. Nobody around us needs non-district games.
Yeah.
Didn't they, like, was it them? Did they have, like, an exchange program, basically, of, like the little Southwest Conference, like, towed up with teams from...
Midland played Harlingen that year. And
There were, like, three or four of them.
Yeah.
It was so weird. Yeah. Anyway, it's the weirdest game of the week. All right, weirdest game of the year, Carthage and San Benito. I don't think it's going to be a great game. I think Carthage is going to win, but, like...
I think Carthage is going to roll.
It's going to be weird. Anyway, that's my fifth pick.
Carthage rolls and Gabe Brooks sends the C.
What's your fifth pick, Matthew?
7 o'clock Friday night at Pirate Stadium in Sinton.
I didn't want to be too Southeast Texas guy, although the Bay City's in Southeast Texas.
Yeah, Coastal Bend.
Yeah.
As we have the 4-1 Corpus Christi Cal Allen Wildcats taking on the undefeated number 4 ranked Sinton Pirates in 4A Division II, fresh off that big win over Corpus Christi Miller last week.
White hot.
Yes.
White hot.
Let's talk about Cal Allen first. Cal Allen bounced back. That shocking loss to Corpus Christi Carroll a couple weeks ago. Cal Allen bounced back. 29-7 win over Rockport Fulton. The biggest thing for Cal Allen was they got their quarterback back. Sebastian Dennis was injured against Carroll. He came back. And once again, Cal Allen's defense. The last six quarters of Cal Allen's played lights-out defense. The second half of the Carroll game and all four quarters of Rockport Fulton, Cal Allen was playing the traditional defense that we're used to seeing from those vintage Cal Allen ball clubs of past years. Offensively, I think they're still figuring things out in this new offense. Offensive coordinator Johnny Irvin coming over from Tyler Chapel Hill. Charlie Reeve, new head coach. They're opening the offense up a little bit. They're still very physical. They like to run the football, but it's out of the spread. I still think there's a learning curve there, and you'll see Cal Allen offense kind of moving in fits and starts. Mm-hmm. But they're figuring it out. They're hanging their hat on their defense, and their defense has played well. This is going to be a team they're playing in Sinton that's loaded with confidence. After beating Corpus Christi Miller on the road 23-16, tremendous balance. They ran for 222 yards last week against Miller. Jacoby James, 5 receptions, 127 yards, 2 touchdowns. And just for grins, he got an interception on defense as well. Played a great game. Both these in Sinton's defense. Miller scored 21 against DeSoto and probably could have scored 35. They had a couple of drops that they could have put touchdowns up. Sinton held Miller to 16 points. Just an unbelievable defensive effort. I think at home, you got to take Sinton. I think Sinton's got the playmakers, Tristan Hansen, Derek Garcia, along with Kobe James. They've got the playmakers. But does Sinton have a little bit of a letdown? That's a very emotional win against Miller. They're at home, but Cal Allen's coming in, and if you have any kind of letdown, Cal Allen's going to beat you.
They're going to pounce.
So I think Sinton's got to be careful. I've been to a game at Sinton. Great stadium. Save me a tortilla burger. They're awesome. If you ever go to cover a game in Sinton, go eat a tortilla burger.
Tortilla burger?
Yes, they're amazing. Hmm. I think Sinton wins, but
I think it's close.
But I think it's closer than people think, and I think if they fart around, Cal Allen's going
to
get
them. Cal Allen's good enough to beat them. Yeah. And, like, you're exactly right. The big question is, can Mike Trautman get his guys up again and get them going again? Because you're right. That's a big...
We know Mike Trautman will be up for the game.
We will be, yes.
But there are no questions there. Trautman will be fired up.
There's going to be... Like, quite frankly, in Sinton, America, there's just going to be a lot of press clippings right now. Like, right now, about what they did. Because that is a signature win. And people talk about you. Like on Tep and Step.
And we're talking about you, yeah.
You've got to be able today to handle it like you're if you're the nouveau riche, you've got to be able to handle this kind of thing. So it's a fascinating game, Cal Allen and Sin. That is our week 6 game draft. I took Atascocita to Summer Creek, Galveston, Ball Poor Arthur Memorial, Port Neches, Groves, and Huntsville, Coppell and Denton Geyer, and Carthage and San Benito. Step took Alito, Denton Ryan, Seminole, Hereford, Texarkana, Liberty, Ilo, and Tatum, Bridgeland, Sci Springs, and Corpus Christi, Cal Allen, and Sin. It is now time for our hipster game of the week. This is a game that's a little bit off the beaten path that you should be paying attention to for whatever reason. Matt Stepp, what is your week 6 hipster game of the week? In an open date filled week, there's actually like a few...
There are a few choices.
Here.
I'm actually going back to the Coastal Bend.
Okay.
7 o'clock Friday night at Pirate Stadium in Mathis.
Oh.
It's Pirates Wild in the Corpus Christi. There's a lot of Pirates in Corpus Christi. I think it's the water thing. You also have Buccaneers.
Yes.
You have Rockport Fulton Pirates. You've got the Sinton Pirates. And let's just go all Pirates, as the Mathis Pirates are hosting the London Pirates.
Oh, it's Pirates v. Pirates. Pirates on Pirates on Pirates.
It's just a Pirate, you know, party going on down in the Coastal Bend. 15-3A Division I, big game here.
They're calling it the Napster Classic. That's a joke for all old people.
Yeah.
Exclusively
for old
people.
Do you know
what
Napster is, V&A? Wow.
Nope.
Okay.
Napster.
It's a good joke, though. It's a good joke.
What I take on a... No. Mid-Sunday, a Napster. No. No, wait, never
mind. Just remember, back in the day, Napster, it would take you 3 hours to download a song, and you would sit there and wait for it.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. Yes.
So.
I studied that in college, Napster.
Wow, they studied it in college. That shows how.
Yeah, you know, ancient history. Yeah. Go on, Matthew.
Mathis, this big game of 15-3A Division. I think we can all agree that Edna and Goliad are probably the two teams to beat in this district. I think after that, you've got Orange Grove, Mathis, London, Palacios, all kind of fighting for those last two playoff spots. Huge game here. Mathis comes in 3-1, 0-1 in district. They lost a goalie ad last week, so they got one of those losses out of the way. London comes in at 2-2, 1-0 in district. They knocked off. They got a big win last week to open up district play. They beat Aransas Pass 60-27. Expect that. This game's dripping with playoff implications. The winner of this game has that buffer win on getting into the postseason. If you lose this game, you're in trouble. You're going to have to probably win a game you're not supposed to win if you want to get into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Big game here. Mathis is under a new head coach. They've kind of had a lot of coaching turnover over the past couple of years. They've got a new head coach who was hired late in the game. So I think they're still trying to figure things out. But Rodney Acosta, who came over from Cal Allen, got hired on May 30th. So it's late, but they're starting to figure things out. They're 3-1, playing decent football. London is kind of that fast-growing, kind of chic Corpus Christi area. They're probably going to be 4A next realignment. Mm-hmm. So interested in this matchup. I'll take London, but I'm watching Mathis. Mathis has been a surprise team so far early on this year in the Coastal Bend.
Okay. All right, your hipster game of the week down there on the Coastal Bend. I'm going to go to the Gold Triangle for mine because I am a Southeast Texas homer, as we know. That's up 7 o'clock Friday night at Lion Stadium in Hardin County. That's right, we're going to Koontz, Texas.
Let's go.
As the Koontz Lions welcome in the Trinity Tigers in a District 12 3A Division II game, and I contend to you an eliminator.
Okay.
I think the winner of this game is alive for a playoff spot, and the loser is
toast.
Maybe not toast.
Throwing dirt on them?
They're scrambling.
Yeah.
They're in a bad way.
You have to win a game you're not supposed to win to get back in the mix.
So look at District 12, 3A Division 2. Feel good about Newton getting the playoffs?
Feel pretty confident about that.
I feel pretty good about Woodville getting the playoffs.
I do.
There's two spots right
there. Those two play next week, I believe.
I still think Anderson Shiro is a playoff team. Okay. I know they lost last week to Newton, I think, or Woodville.
I believe it was one of the two.
Yeah, one of the two. One of the good ones. I still think they're the third best team in that district. I think they're in. That leaves one spot.
Newton. Anderson Shiro lost to Newton last week. Yeah.
I think the chief, like, with all due respect to Warren, Warren's probably not getting the playoffs. I think they're probably in last place in that district. Mm-hmm. But Trinity, Koontz, and New Waverly are basically in a three-way dance for a playoff spot. Now, last week, Trinity lost to Woodville. Okay? That's a game you can lose. That's fine. That's acceptable. Mm-hmm. If you lose to one of these teams, if Trinity loses to Koontz, I think they're in big trouble. They're 0-2. Yes. They're going to need to basically probably beat New Waverly and hope for a three-way tie. Mm-hmm. This is the district opener for Koontz. But here's the funny thing about Koontz, okay? The Lions, Todd Payne and company, they've only played 3 games. They're 2-1. They've had 2 open days. Mm-hmm.
They had a weird week 2 bye.
Someone
dropped them late, and they scrambled and couldn't find a game.
And the last time we saw them, they were losing to Buna's 14-7. This is a low-scoring defensive slugfest-type team taking on a Trinity team that would much rather get out and run. They average 30 points a game. This would be a big step for both these teams. Trinity hasn't made the playoffs, or rather, Koontz hasn't made the playoffs since 2021. Trinity hasn't made the playoffs since 2020. I think I lean towards Koontz at home. I think that they're your favorite here, but this is an eliminator. This is a game where both these coaching staffs are telling their guys, we need this one. Like, we got to have this one because otherwise things get really dicey down there. So I'm going with Koontz and Trinity as hipster
game. Big Southeast Texas week for you. You've noted big 409
noted
guy.
Southeast Texas homer. Where are you going this week?
All righty. Thursday night, I will be in Lampasas at Badger Field in downtown Lampasas as Lorena visits to take on Lampasas. Interesting one-off Thursday game.
Yeah.
Never been to Lampasas Stadium before.
And you're going to get... you'll get a read on the Reed Jerome situation.
Yes,
because I know he got injured. The Lampasas, the outstanding Lampasas quarterback, got injured against Waco U. So
be interested to see that. Not sure. So I've got a conundrum on Thursday because the pure original Storms is in Land Passes. But
you do Storms twice? Do you dare to live the impossible dream?
Matt Wilson has also given me a recommendation on dining in Land Passes. So we'll see. We'll see.
No law against having two dinners.
I mean, there's no law against it, you know. You know, go big or go home, right? As Colby Carthel says.
Absolutely right.
Friday night, I will be at Better Life Stadium in Forney. And you're like, Better Life Stadium?
Never heard of it, Matt Sepp.
That is the new stadium on campus at North Forney, the opening of the stadium. So North Forney's played 5 games this year, all on the road. Mm-hmm. They are opening the new stadium Friday. The stadium construction got delayed a little bit. It happens.
Did they beat Forney last week?
They did.
Wow.
38-35.
Wow.
Forney's 2-3. Forney's lost 3 games by a total of 8 points. Tough luck for Jeff Fleener's ball club. But as Marcus Shavers told me, come to Better Life Stadium for a better life. So what a sell job there. So I will be coming to Better Life Stadium in Forney.
Original.
Yes.
Shavers.
To watch the North Forney Falcons, 1-0 in district, take on Tyler Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Also 1-0. Tyler Legacy, the last 2 weeks, beat Crowley and Rockwall Heath.
Great win over Rockwall Heath, too. Gutty. Yeah,
overtime. Mm-hmm. So excited to see the new stadium. Big district game. Not excited to drive on Highway 80. It's a disaster. But I'll leave Fort Worth about 1 o'clock and should get there. And then Saturday, I'm headed to the Alamo City. 2 o'clock Saturday at Hero Stadium. It's the Gucci Bowl.
That's right.
San Antonio Clark taking on San Antonio Churchill in a really big game with playoff implications. This is a huge game. Both teams are right in the middle of the playoff mix. They're both 1-0 in district. Big game. It's a rivalry game. They used to play at week 1. Now they're in the same district, so they're playing it on a Saturday afternoon in San Antonio. It's the Gucci Bowl. Mm-hmm. My first Gucci Bowl, so I'm excited to see that. And then I'm going to close it out Saturday night with another game of playoff implications at Alamo Stadium.
As
San Antonio Sam Houston takes on San Antonio Edison. The San Antonio ISD district, maybe not the best as far as like teams that are going to go to the playoffs and make a deep run, but within inter-district play, always competitive. Every year when we get to week 10, week 11, we're having to figure out tiebreakers in that district. Was it last year there was like a six-way tie for like third? It was crazy.
It was like a six-way tie for 2 playoff spots. Yeah.
So
it was awful.
It's always crazy in that district. So this is a big game. They're both 1-0 in district. So lots of playoff implications in my Friday game because both teams are 1-0 in district. And then my 2 Saturday games. So excited to see it.
Very big.
Yeah.
Hey, what a week. What a week. Let's go over to V&A Miranda to close this bad boy out by telling us, hey, V&A, what'd you write down today?
Lots of things. Actually, I mean, it was a pretty tame podcast y'all had.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to up our game.
We do need to up our game. I can start cursing.
Talking
much
football.
Yeah.
Cartier Collier is a cool dude with a cool name.
That's a cool name.
Yeah, Cartier Collier.
There will be a district loss before the Rapture.
Okay.
Yeah, for Alito.
Thank you.
You think so? I'm not sure I believe that.
Okay. Ball's team is balanced, talented, good team with a superstar. I thought.
Galveston Ball, yeah. Okay.
You guys are weirdos. We love you.
Yes.
It could become a fart in the wind. I don't know. I don't remember that.
Oh, I was referring to Port Nature's Grove's loss or like the Lake Creek game.
Mm.
That like if they go out there and just play great, then just like it's a fart in the wind. Anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's funny to me. Okay. Last couple ones.
Scatological.
Tepper and his Coppell Cowboys. That's just for me.
Tepper's Letterman jacket.
Nussbus.
Get on the Nussbus.
Get on the Nussbus.
Mm-hmm.
Colton Nussmeyer, yeah.
And week six chaos, white hot. And then finally, come to Better Life Stadium for a better life.
Let's go.
That's right. It's going to do it for us. Thanks for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. Thanks to V&A Moreno for making us sound good. And Step, thanks for your courage.
Thank you.
We will talk to you next week on Tep and Step.
See ya.